like this cow.
It's kind of one of those things, it's like the duck. You know, you see a duck in the water, right? The duck looks like it's cool, but the duck's freaking working hard under the water. Wow, working hard. That's how our place is. We look cool, but we're working hard.
All right, now, Joey, tell us about your commute again every single day.
So right now I'm living in Waco. So for those of you that don't know, that is about 2 hours, depending on traffic, sometimes 2.5 hours away from Dallas. That's actually where I'm going to school, up at UT Southwestern in Dallas. So I am actually commuting anywhere from 4 to 5 hours a day right now.
Holy crap, dude.
Yeah, not the most fun thing, but it's allowed me to listen to a shit ton of courses and digital marketing stuff. So when you do that on 2x speed, you start to consume quite a bit of content pretty quick.
Yeah, and that does that weird thing happen where 2x speed just feels like the normal speed that you should hear people talk now?
Yeah, I actually don't recognize your voice. I've never heard you on normal speed.
Yeah.
No, it's like legit what happened, because like I would listen to stuff, like I'd be like, oh my god, like, because I met like some of the people, like Paul Goff at when I went to like SSPT. I was like, what the hell, you speak slow. I was like, holy crap, because I mean I've been listening to him for forever, and then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, holy shit, you are slow. How does anybody listen to you at normal speed?
Yeah, where's your setting button so I can put you a little bit faster?
Hey, sorry, I was just hopped on. I was trying to talk to Tyler. He was trying to get the link. Sorry to jump in, but here.
No way to go. And y'all know Joey, right? Y'all have met before, right?
I met Trace down at SSPT.
Heck yeah.
F. Scott introduced us.
Yeah. And do you hang out with F. Scott a lot up there in Waco?
Not a ton, because he's pretty slammed himself, so... we've met up a couple times and we've done some business stuff together. Cause I helped him and David build their course out, for the Mobile PT League and did stuff like that. So we've met up and we've collaborated on some stuff, but outside of that, he's one who does freaking ridiculous amounts of stuff. I feel like he's got his hands in 100 different projects at all time.
Yeah. And that was through ClickFunnels? That y'all had that set up?
Yeah, we set it up through ClickFunnels. That was I think my second course I built. I've built like 15 or so now. So it's gotten to become a process, but that was initially when they were first starting out and they're like, I don't have a clue how to do this. So he messaged me one day. He's like, how do you set this up? I ended up doing quite a bit of it before he's like, can I just hire you? Sure. Sure, I'll let you pay me money to do this stuff that I love.
For sure. And what was the first course you ever made?
It was for a clinician who wanted to have a plantar fasciitis course. So that was one that I guess to start it all out, so my starting of like digital marketing and everything, I've been kind of studying it for about 4 years or so, because I was a dental hygienist for 4 years prior, and knew that I was going to end up getting into the PT field. And then I kind of fell into Jared Carter and Paul's stuff, seeing that cash was like the only way that realistically you can make it work with the way things are trending. So I was like, well, shit, how do I get new patients? So then I started kind of going hard in that, but also was like addicted to Pat Flynn. So I was like, passive income, hell yeah. If I can do something and just make money for the rest of my life. So like I did all that stuff. And then I ended up running into Alex and Will from Healthcare Digital Marketing. And they needed a intern because their group was growing so quick that they just couldn't handle all the stuff going on there. So I actually applied to be an intern for them. And by doing that, I also became a moderator in there. So I was answering questions and everything like that in their group. And someone just ended up reaching out to me. It was like, hey, like I need some help with this. And so I had just answered some questions. I didn't really even have any intentions on building a course for someone. And he's like, well, I got this idea. What do you think about it? I was like, let's do it. So we just built it out, and he really more so just uses it as an adjunct to someone who can't quite afford to pay him cash and wants something that's a little bit less hands-on.
Yeah.
So I think eventually long-term he wants to try to scale it, but right now he's so slammed in his clinic that he doesn't really put much focus on it. So yeah, that's where I started out. And then I've done that. I've built some stuff for Ron Miller and the Cash PT group. So I've built out all their courses. Yeah. Yeah. Ron and Dave. So they're freaking awesome. So built out their stuff for their mastermind, and seems like it's just slowly building out stuff. And then of course your buddy, Steven. So built out a course for him for the Pilates course. So I've done a lot of coursework, but then I've also done a lot of like actual digital marketing. So Google ads, Facebook ads, all that fun stuff, SEO. But a lot of it's been self-taught or just finding any and every course I can possibly find on it. And then taking what I learn and just figuring it out and learning as you go. Because if you've tried any of this, you realize it's definitely a huge learning process.
Would you say course building is your favorite over digital marketing right now? Or?
No, course building, I think it's easy. I think course building is the easiest thing to do. So really it's a nice thing to do because it's so easy within ClickFunnels once you've done it, that if someone wants to do that, it doesn't take much of my time. But really my main passion is probably going to have to be like sales, copywriting, and like SEO. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of my main things, but in the process of knowing all of that stuff, you end up doing more of the Facebook ads and the Google ads and stuff like that. Cause they're all interrelated. Like there's no way you can do one without the other. Right. But SEO seems to be something I've really been drawn to a little bit more, which I guess works out because there seems to be no one that actually teaches any of it to any PTs. Mm. And I think it's really, really important because everybody's like, oh, you've got to do all this paid stuff. And realistically, like, yes, I agree, you need to do some type of paid ads, like Google ads or Facebook ads, but it makes no sense to continue to always pay for it if you can do something that will long-term eventually get it to where you're getting those same exact clients, but for free.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I like, because I mean, I love the fact that Google Ads work. They do. There's no way denying it. But if you look at pretty much any big agency who's doing digital marketing, they don't just do one or the other. They complement each other really, really well.
And can you define SEO in layman's terms? Sorry, Trace.
So SEO is search engine optimization. So pretty much if I were to search like physical therapy Waco, whoever shows up the top on the list. So that doesn't necessarily always have to be just Google. So that has to do with Google, Bing, Yahoo, YouTube, any of those you can do SEO on. Most people just kind of think of SEO as only Google, but it's really everything. But yeah, it's essentially optimizing your page, your website, and essentially links to your website. So by links, I mean like, if you do a blog for someone and they ended up linking back to your website, that tells Google like you're a legit website, you're a legit company. And that essentially allows them to say, all right, we trust them that they're a real company. They are who they say they are. So let's put them up a little bit further ahead of someone. So ideally you always want to be on that top number one slot on Google because they see way more of the clicks to your website than anybody else. Cool. And then what was the other question? You said SEO and then what?
I was going to ask, so when do you start building out their TikTok account?
Yeah, I think TikTok's one that I haven't quite ventured into and don't know if I ever will.
What are you waiting for, Joey?
I don't know. I could be the TikTok PT.
Yeah. Talk about a blue ocean, man. Get in there.
Yeah, that's blue. We may have to wait 10 years before anybody graduates that actually would be willing to do it.
That's playing the long game, Joey. I know Trace is out there interested in building some courses, right? If not, already have them built.
I have not done anything towards building courses. I got like a Facebook group going, but I have no idea how to build courses.
You're talking to the right man.
I don't know.
What's the course going to be on?
It's more on like money management in PT, because it's listening to the people that are just okay accepting $150,000 in debt and are just like, well, I'll make like 70, so that's okay. Like teaching how money actually works and, yeah, you know, paying off debt. There are, it's good if you have like a high interest rate, but if you can pay off debt slowly and put money into like an index fund that's returning 9%, like, you're essentially losing money if you're paying off the debt quicker, if you could be investing more into like an easy higher return. So kind of finding people that are interested in how money actually works, because we're not taught that in school. Everyone's just like, yeah, you know, anatomy. It's like, cool, but I kind of get paid. And then what do I do with my money after that? So opening up like high interest savings accounts instead of just keeping it in a checking, earning no interest on it. Like, you're just going to build a nest egg, may as well put it somewhere where it's getting a little bit of money, even if you are afraid of the stock market or investing somewhere else. So,
well, you just sell ultrasound units, because it seems like a lot of PTs use those.
This is crazy.
I don't get it.
Ultrasound. Yes. I've heard your rants on ultrasound.
Yeah, man. That was Barbell Physio who came on, man, talking about ultrasound.
Yeah, sure.
Just stirred it all up. Yeah, I mean, you know. So what are you? You're the guy in school right now. What are you learning about ultrasound, man?
Pretty.
Use it on everything. It's like hot sauce. You put that shit on everything, bro.
Well, it is kind of, it's funny. It depends on which teacher you're listening to, because there's one guy who's like modality, like that's all he wants to do. And then I've got another, he's like, I haven't used an ultrasound in 20 years. So it depends on who you listen to, but realistically, it sounds like wound care seems to be one of the only ways I'm going to end up using it if I ended up doing wound care.
If you're not doing the ultrasound inside the water at least once a week, you're fucking up. I'll just let you know.
Dang. I am fucking up.
I love the clinical practice right there. That's a clinical pearl, as they say, Joey. So how are you enjoying PT school, though? We'll take a break from all the marketing talk and just, all right, how is actually being in academia right now treating you?
I think so. It's kind of, it's good and it's bad. I think one of the biggest issues is going into it, because most students go into it not really understanding where PT, the actual profession, is going. And so you can kind of see like just the naivety of, I don't even know if that's how you say that word.
Naivete, maybe?
Just church it up.
Going in and thinking like, oh, I'm gonna be loaded. I'm going to be doing all, which you can. There's ways to do that as a PT, but it seems like everybody in there kind of thinks like this is this like cash cow of a career, and I'm only going to be seeing like so low amount of patients, and there's only so many of those jobs. And so it kind of disappoints me seeing how much you see that and how little people know about it. But going into it knowing that, and knowing that there's other options, it's still good for me. But then you still go through some of those courses that you're just like, I don't even know why I'm taking this. Like, there's absolutely no reason for me to even be learning this. So it's kind of frustrating, kind of knowing a little more going in, because there's a lot that you just kind of don't want to listen to, but you just kind of learn as much as you can and go with it. Because I mean, we know that the PT degree just gives you a base foundation, and that you end up learning a crap ton after you graduate.
Have you gotten into your marketing course yet? I remember we had one that we learned about the importance of having your own billboard so that you could reach out to the community.
Oh, that's nice, that, man.
Yeah.
That
lots of handouts at the local events.
Yeah, that is my next semester. Because I only have one. I have one more semester of actual classes, and then from May till December, it's nothing but clinicals. So yeah, that's my next semester, which at least it's run by a guy who had a clinic for like 20 years, but that also tells me that like he hasn't in the last at least five, and there's been a lot of changes in the last five. And so we'll see how it is. Luckily, it's like one of my favorite professors.
Nice.
So I think it should be good. if not, he's at least not like so like old and crotchety or anything like that. He'll be like, what is this digital marketing stuff?
How do you like my billboard, Joey?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. I'll be curious to see what he says, because I think we end up having to write like a business model or something like that of a potential practice. So
a little SWOT analysis and all that stuff.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
Did you apply to be an intern with Trace up there in Temple?
Come to the VA.
I did not. I'm gonna end up doing a inpatient neuro up in Bryan, so over there by A&M. There's not a ton of options in Waco, as you would imagine, because it's a tiny. No matter what Chip and Joanna do, they can't grow that thing enough to make it a big city. It's funny how just a distorted view of Waco that everybody in the nation has. I've heard of people moving up here sight unseen from New York City because Chip and Joe have made this place look so awesome on TV, and then they got here and were like, holy shit.
Welcome to Waco.
Yeah. So then I have two other outpatient ortho ones, because I know realistically I'll probably end up going out the outpatient ortho route. Eventually owning my own business. But that's long-term. So right now it's just been kind of focusing on, growing my group that I launched last week. So PT Marketing Secrets Facebook group, somehow managed to get to 200 people already. I don't know how. I guess I've, done something right. I've got some friends on the internet.
Boom. What led you to create that group?
Well, so in between like just doing stuff for clients nonstop and constantly having people reach out and just literally just not having enough time to be able to help, more people, I've literally had to turn down like tons of people because I just can't take on any more caseload. Cause as you'd imagine with a 4-hour commute a day, it's pretty tough to, do a ton. So with that, seeing how many more people I could potentially be helping with it. And then I'm a moderator in the healthcare digital marketing group and the mobile PT league. And I'm constantly answering questions in there and other groups and stuff like that. And I'm like, why am I answering questions in there? Which I'm still going to answer questions in there, but it's like, why am I answering questions in there when I could just make one piece of content and answer it for everybody that potentially has that question? So I feel like it's just a better use of my time where I could essentially help more people and get out some of the information that I can't quite out in other groups, because it's not that they don't want me to like help people learn, but within any group, you've kind of got like a way you're going with your content. You may be directing it towards a certain thing. So you may be about to launch like Alex and Will, like whenever they launched their last course on essentially how to start and grow a course, they don't want me to be like SEO over here and distracting people from this. Cause they want the focus to be on that. Cause the more buy-in there is on anything, the better results that anybody within their program is going to get. So if they're thinking, okay, I need to do a course, but then Joey's over here talking about SEO, it's like, well, which do I need to focus on? So it's easy to get distracted by all the kind of shiny object stuff. So I guess I may still be distracting people, but it'll at least be in my group.
Yeah, dude, there's already so many distractions out there. That's pretty, yeah. Just seeing how much the marketing in the PT profession, as far as courses and personalities have grown since I was in PT school, has been ridiculous.
Yeah, it seems like every week there's another group that's popped up. That's why I like, even on my description of my Facebook group, I like said, like, I know you're like probably like, oh my God, here's another freaking Facebook group. Like, I knew that's what people are thinking, because that's what I'm like. Anytime I see another group pop up, I'm like, holy crap, how am I supposed to follow another group?
Yeah, but, and you touched on this already, but how is yours going to be different?
First, the content is definitely going to be different. I feel like there's a lot of people who really cover the like motivational side of stuff. There's people that cover like more of the actual like business oriented questions. And I'm not going to try to tell someone how to run a business when I have not ran a PT clinic. I've helped out some PT clinics just based on what I've learned with sales and being within like the dental field. Because I mean, when I was working for a dentist, we were doing around $3 million a year. So they had a lot of systems in place. They had a lot of stuff done in sales. And I know people are going to say, oh, that's dentistry. It's different than physical therapy. But people are people. People act on emotions. And the stuff you can learn from one business is directly translatable to others. So I learned a lot there. So, I mean, there's stuff I can help with business stuff, but I'm not going to try to act like I'm the like business guy. So I kind of wanted to stay in my own lane and be able to help with that. And then just kind of hit on some of those topics that other people aren't. And then it just seems like there's not a ton of groups that really like help you with the tech side of stuff. A lot of it's very like over the top, like strategies. And then you end up watching a video and then it's like, all right, that sounds cool, but how do I do it? Mm-hmm. So then you end up spending hours trying to Google how to like find a freaking Facebook pixel or how to put like what's coding and how do you put it on your website? Like there's just so much of that when it would just be so much easier to just like have some tutorials built in there. So I want to have kind of some of the overarching like concepts of sales strategy and digital marketing and stuff like that. But then I also want to have like, I don't know if I'm going to call it like a Tech Tuesday or I don't know what it is. I'm not going to figure out what it is, but I want it to be something where we actually have some video walkthroughs. So that way people aren't constantly having to find stuff out on their own. So they at least know it's from a good source.
Very cool, man. Very cool. Cause yeah, I mean, you're going to be having to look at YouTube videos anyway. It might as well be in your Facebook group.
Yeah. I mean, cause it could be in the Facebook group to where that way it's actually localized into a specific place, or at least if it's on, I have a YouTube channel too, that I haven't really done much on, but any video that I put in there will also be on there. So it may still be on YouTube, but you at least know, like, just check out one place instead of 20 different ones, because there's nothing like what always happens to me is I'm trying to figure out how to freaking do something. And I watch 30 minutes of it and realize like, holy crap, that was for the 5 editions ago of whatever I was doing it on. And the platform actually looks nothing like that anymore. So then you end up having to find another, or you find like the videos just aren't, they're not current. So you had to filter out all the crap. And then there's a lot of people who end up just doing the same thing. They give you 70% of what you need, but they're like, well, you can't actually do the rest unless you buy this thing. So there's a lot of that. And I'm not even saying that's within just the PT world. That's any digital marketing. Which I understand people are trying to make money. But I just feel like there needs to be a good source. I think realistically, my long-term goal with this, all of this PT marketing secret stuff is I know it sounds like a bold statement, but I want to be the central hub for pretty much all things digital marketing within physical therapy. So that would be like the equivalent of like, I don't know if you're familiar with digitalmarketer.com.
Yeah.
So
they're based in Austin, right?
I don't know actually.
I see their logo on a building out here, so you should come by and check it out.
Okay. I know they do their conference in Austin, so that would make sense. But yeah, like I just want to be kind of the central hub. So like put out my own content, but then also like I want, like there's a ton of people out there putting out awesome information, and I would just love for everybody to like collaborate, because I feel like there's some people within the space that collaborate and that's freaking awesome, but there's some that don't. And I realistically think the only way that everybody is going to like get better is if we all kind of come together and figure out like everything that could help. Otherwise, we're just going to keep getting crushed by chiros, and we're going to keep getting crushed by insurance companies. Like there's got to be something to change. And I feel like the only way that's going to happen is if we actually all come together. And so I think finding some type of central hub to where everybody can get help and essentially rise everybody. I don't know that saying something about rising tide with ships or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not
rising tide raises all ships, right? Right, Trace?
Something like that.
So yeah, that's my ultimate goal. I know that's a long-term goal. Right now, I guess main focus is just growing the group, putting out some good content, and
yeah, man.
Eventually I'll put out a course. But realistically, you gotta see what the audience wants. I heard someone say, realistically, you're not a good digital marketer. I'm not a good digital marketer. Your customer is a good digital marketer because they know exactly what they want. Mm. So I think that should pretty much lead anybody with digital marketing into anything they do, because the more you know your patient or your customer in and out and exactly what they're thinking and going through, it's going to bring you a long way within the game.
For sure. For sure. Tyler, how are we doing back there, man? I know you're struggling on the phone a little bit there.
I'm doing just fine, baby.
There you go.
Can you hear me? Yeah. I'm over here plotting my new course, How to Be a Millionaire Using Modalities Only.
So, it's been done, dude. Now. Like, do you know? We know how much money the A-STEM people have.
That's right. You idiot. That's like what 1990s PT was all about, was modalities and millionaires. It's called M&M, baby. Modalities and millionaires. Yeah. No.
I won't buy the fuck out of that shit right now.
I honestly think I'd buy it just for the name.
Hey, I jumped on this call a little bit late. Have we talked about what's the name of the group, the Facebook group? What's the name of it?
M&M.
It's
that's right. M&M, man.
It's PT Marketing Secrets.
PT Marketing Secrets. Okay. And then yeah. I'm just over here listening. You know, Trace was dropping some shit about interest rates, and I got scared. And then we're talking about like YouTubing. I heard a Facebook Pixel earlier. Not really sure what the fuck that is. No,
it's like you're calling it from Nashville right now.
Does the caller have any questions? Is there anything we can answer for you?
Was there a question?
Hey, can we go back to that FCS shit? Is that what it was? SEO something about? No. Yeah,
SEO.
All right. Yeah. SEO. That's what it is. SEO. Learn me up something.
Learn you up something.
That's right. I just want to I'll just go back to listening in as a caller. I just want to, you know, say go Baylor Bears. Waco, Texas is the best city. Live free, die hard. You know,
the South will rise again.
South will rise again. you know. I'm trying to think of some other crazy. There's a bunch of crazy shit that's happened in Waco, right?
There has been some crazy shit that's happened.
There, if you'll recall, a couple of years ago, there was like a biker gang got in a big shootout with the cops.
Yeah,
and like 100 people got arrested. That shit was wild. Not to bring up the sore subject, but then there was that one dude that like had the big standoff with a. Oh my God! Who was the secretary? They used to do the SNL skits with her, Janet Reno. Oh, okay.
We've got a Waco historian in here.
Yeah,
yeah, but that wasn't really Waco. That was just outside of Waco. So, Chip and Joanna are great.
Yeah, they're the only great thing that's come out of Waco. Chip and Joanna, maybe RG3.
I'd say RG3's, he was doing something. Now he's sitting in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Dusty is in Baltimore, backup quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
How do you feel about Joey? Joey, how do you feel about RG3's knee valgus?
That's why I'll never make it in the league.
I'm not going to lie. I don't really watch pro football.
Yeah, just goof that's somebody.
Why, that's why he's making millions, though, not watching pro football.
Yeah. Somebody, there's a listener out there that has no idea what we're talking about, and they're going to Google Robert Griffin III knee valgus, and they're going to be mortified. It's a little inside PT joke. But no, Tyler, your question was about cults in Waco, right? Or how to market your cult.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lots of Kool-Aid.
If you could just take me through a step-by-step, I'm looking to get a digital marketing group, and I want to get my Kool-Aid.
Jesus juice, as they say.
I'm trying to get – take me through a step. Right now, it's in my brain. Right now, I got the idea. And I mm-hmm. need to – I've got dial-up internet. I got AOL.
Oh, God. So, who's your target audience, Tyler?
My target audience is a white male that doesn't have a lot of friends, somewhere between the age of 16 and 28, probably has a beard and owns upwards of 5 guns or more.
Okay.
So do they need to live in their parents' basement?
That's a plus. But I don't need that, you know. Maybe a little bit of World of Warcraft in there, you know, a little bit of – maybe they Twitch a lot. I know that's a new hot thing. You know, shout out to Trace earlier for the hilarious TikTok reference. That was a really good one. I was laughing my ass off listening to that. I'm going back in the back seat just to go listen again. But I'm enjoying the shit out of listening to, like, not knowing what you guys are talking about and trying to learn a little bit more. So here I go, back to the back seat.
Well, thank you, caller. Tyler from Nashville. All right. Joey, how do you answer that? If we have a gentleman trying to digital market for his cult.
I think the first place I'd go is to local schools. There's lots of young, impressionable children there that you could probably manage to get. I think that would be a good start. From there, I don't really know. That's a tough one. You may have stumped me.
Oof. All right. Well, you know what you need to study now. Awesome.
I know.
But no, so if somebody like Dr. Adams over there has a specific niche, I would on some real stuff, this dude just had ACL reconstruction surgery. He's like 2-3 weeks out. Feel free to chime in. I think it'd be cool if he had a Facebook group around that, right? We've seen people have success with injury support groups on Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. There's potential for him to have a Facebook support group and also maybe a potential tips for ACL reconstruction rehab, right? Since he's been slowly vlogging about it. Wouldn't that be a cool opportunity, you think?
Yeah, I think that's definitely an option. I mean, because you've got people like Tony Maritato, who's got one for knee replacements. You've got Dean Volk, who's purely treating sciatica and piriformis. I mean, he's grown that group to like 5,000 people. And he's seeing people like all over the world with telehealth. And he's built out a membership course and everything. So it's definitely something doable. I think initially, when it's kind of that niche of a thing, I think a lot of the times you end up having to run some Facebook ads to grow that group. Unless you're willing to push it pretty hard within your clinic, because it's just not something that you're naturally going to be able to find those people quite as easy organically. But yeah, I mean, if that's something you want to do, like, it would be very easy to do SEO for that as well, because all you would have to do is start targeting the keywords of stuff that are associated with ACL rehab, and then from there push them into your group. So it's really something that a lot of people seem to be doing, and it's really it's something that takes some time, and I think people kind of get discouraged with it because I know some others that have tried making a pathology specific one, and then they get like 100 people in there, no one's answering any questions, no one's interacting, and then the group just ends up dying. But I think the ones that I've seen work, it's the ones that are actually really, the main ones that have worked are the ones that already have successful businesses and they can actually put a lot of time into it, because you can't grow a group without spending a lot of time in it. So like both Dean and Tony, both of them have practices that run on their own without them being there. So they can put quite a bit of time and into these groups, where I've seen a lot of people, like, as I said, like shiny object syndrome, they're trying to start their cash-based practice, they're trying to sell merchandise, they're trying to write a book, and they're trying to grow a group, and then they're wondering why none of them are working. So I think realistically, like, the biggest thing you could take away from any of this is It's not necessarily that there's one thing that you for sure need to be focusing on, because that's going to be different from person to person, but it's to just find one thing and fucking do it. Like, I think that was the biggest thing that I learned over, because I actually started this group 15 months ago and didn't invite a single person, didn't make any content, didn't do anything. It was like this idea. And literally right before the end of the year, I happened to accidentally click on my group when I was searching through groups. And I saw the little notification that said, like, this group was made September 2018. I was like, holy shit, that was a long time ago. And I've done nothing on this. So I just said, screw it, and just started inviting people. And I mean, it's been a week and I already have 200. So like, if you actually like implement everything, so like Alex and Will say, like, the imperfect action is better than perfect inaction.
Yeah.
So pretty much just do it. Don't worry about it being perfect. That's where you're going to get your results. Cause it's easy to continue to just learn and learn and learn shit. But until you actually get in there, start doing it, implement it, see what's wrong with it, try to fix it, you're just never going to make any progress. So it doesn't matter if it's Google Ads, SEO, any of it, you've got to try it. I think that's going to make a huge difference.
I think that's a great point you said of not spreading yourself too thin, right? Just because I think that's a lot of us in PT, whether it's a PT profession, hot commodity or a new thing or new research article or something in marketing, we want to gravitate towards that and automatically be like, all right, how do I do this and this? And like, just like you said, I want the book, I want the cash-based practice, I want the online course. Trace, have you ever felt like that?
Yeah, I definitely fall for that kind of shiny object syndrome. I have been trying to focus on it here in the last couple months of not, you know, spreading myself too thin, focusing on just one thing. And then, yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's gotten a little bit better results, but I still have issues saying no when people ask, like, hey, can I help? Can you help with this? It's like, sure, of course. And then it ends up with, like he was saying, it's kind of like half-assed work spread across everything. But
yeah. And that was a great burp to whoever just burped right now. But also, what are Joey, what are the most challenging no's or most rewarding no's that you've had to say when somebody's like, hey man, do you want to help me start a cult in Waco? And you're like, nah, I can't really do that right now.
I think honestly, my biggest no's I've had to do, so I've had a couple people come to me that wanted me to do all of their digital marketing for them. And some of those were pretty big retainers. I mean, it would have been enough to where I would have been very comfortable.
That Chip and Joe days?
No, I actually did see them posting that they wanted someone to help them with their email marketing. I was like, huh. But but yeah, I didn't apply to that. I was like, that's probably not going towards the goal of what I want. But yeah, so I think that was probably some of my biggest no's, because I had said this to you, but my wife and I are expecting our first baby in May. So I've kind of had to reprioritize a lot of things as far as time available with her, and then eventually time available with my family. So saying no to that, because it wasn't really going to be pushing me towards my long-term goals of growing this group and towards essentially getting stuff to where I can have more time with my family. It may not necessarily right now I'm seeing as much of the rewards of that, because it's like, okay, it would be nice to have that extra money. But I know that prioritizing family and time like that and getting stuff to where it will be better towards that time, I know it's going to end up paying in way more than I ever could have gotten from any of those type gigs.
Long game.
Yep. Long game is definitely where it is, man. Everybody, like I said, everybody's so worried about the quick stuff. And I guess that's something why SEO is always kind of been something that I've gravitated towards, because yeah, you're not going to do something with SEO and then like that same day start getting new clients like you can with Google Ads or something like that. But that's the type of stuff that will end up, you're building an asset with it. Your website will be an asset that continues to actually make patient, like create patient leads for you without you doing a damn thing. And that's what I like, is stuff that does stuff for you so you don't have to do a damn thing. Like that's the most ideal situation. And it's definitely important.
Hell yeah. Trace, what questions you got, man, being another Facebook group admin?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't even know what I don't know yet, honestly. It's more of that taking action kind of stuff. I'm just trying to throw stuff out there and see so I can learn how I need to make it better. Because right now it's really leaning hard into that. Well, people say imperfect action's good, so I'm just going to keep throwing out this shit here and see what happens, see if any of it sticks. So trying to just get myself to do something.
I think there has been kind of a misconception with that, because it is easy to say like go, 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 like Gary V, like work harder, like all that shit. But realistically, like imperfect action is good, but there has to be a plan going along with it. Because you can just, like you said, just continue to put out like stuff that really doesn't have any type of strategy or plan to it, and all you're doing is wasting your time. So I definitely think taking some time to kind of plan out where you're going with it, and then the imperfect action is really just doing it. And it may be 80% as far as polished as you want it, but then putting it out. So I think that's where the imperfect inaction is to be a lot better. But imperfect inaction does not mean like just put out anything and everything as it comes to your head without thinking of anything or anything like that. So that does seem to be common. So I know a lot of people that are in the same situation, and I am too in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's, I do notice like the whole imperfect inaction towards like the Facebook lives. Like if I see someone that, you know, I may give them a minute or two of paying attention, but if it's like the cell phone selfie, lots of noise in the background, can't hear anything, it's like, I might pay attention to this more if you were sitting down and I could actually hear you, because the wind blowing through your phone and all that, it's like, I don't know. I feel like it needs to be a little cleaner. So I'm trying to do like a mix of both. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but at least make the content kind of crisp and clean looking, so it's not a pain to listen to or a pain to read.
Yeah. I think one thing with that is a lot of people, they'll do the lives and everything, which I actually recommend lives, because one, of course, the engagement's going to be a lot higher. But a lot of people who, when they're first starting out, like you're probably not going to be one like that, because you've been doing a podcast, you've done all this shit, like that doesn't bother you. But for like someone who's on video, like that terrifies a lot of people. I'm not gonna lie, like it terrifies me going live in groups still. Like I still like get the nervous shits, like right before I go on, like you're freaking out, your like gut starts to freak out, and you just have to do it. But if you fuck up, like it doesn't matter, you're live, people expect you to mess up something, like that's okay. But if you were to have recorded that, it would have taken you five times as long, because you would have done 100 takes, fixed stuff that no one cares about, and then spent even more time editing at the end, and then still maybe not even published it. So that's where the imperfect inaction is. Imperfect action is definitely good. But other thing is, if you're not doing a live, most people don't do this, but like take some time to plan out what kind of content you want for the next month or so. Get the ideas of it and just spend one day on a weekend and just do the content for all of it. Batch all that content. And you're going to be able to save so much time, because otherwise you're going to end up spending like one day or 2 days every single week trying to stay up with the content. Then something comes up, you've got to go to like your mom's house, you've got a meeting with all the crazy people in Waco who are trying to start a cult, like you're going to be busy. So when you're doing that, like you're not going to be worried about your content, and then you're going to fall behind a week and then another week. So like batching your content is one of the best things you can possibly do. So like that's one of my goals this weekend, is to film a crap ton of content. So that way, when I start back at school on Tuesday, I don't have to worry about it for a little bit. Like I'll probably still do some every once in a while, but I'm going to have already filmed a lot, because I know life gets in the way of everybody. It doesn't matter how like hardcore you are. Like you're going to slip up and you don't have time to make content. So the more you can do it in one sitting, because not only that, but it's going to be more efficient because you don't have to get all your filming stuff out again. That's definitely what I recommend to a lot of people.
That's great. That's great. Because we all know culting activities take a lot of time out of your day.
They do. You have to plan it. You have to make sure you have enough water for the Kool-Aid. Like, it's a lot.
The ratios get all fucked up real easy.
Yeah, if you have too much sugar, everybody's going to throw it up and they're not going to die.
Damn. Jesus.
So, too dark?
It's good. I love it.
That was good. It was right on target.
A caller. Hey, we got a caller from Nashville. Hey.
So, look, I've got a question here. I've recently started a new Facebook group about ACL and then a cult following ACLs. How much time should I spend on this Facebook group per day? Do I wake up and do I immediately look at my phone and just go all the way into the social media thing and feel like a total piece of shit after 30 minutes and realize that I'm actually late for work? I'm actually late for work because I've been on this Facebook group. Or do you check it, you know, do you stop checking your emails? How often does one attend per Facebook group?
I think when you're first starting out, like realistically, you do need to spend more time with it. You've got to nurture it and try to create like that environment where people are comfortable. Because people are used to, like, if they have some type of injury, they're used to really dealing with that on their own. So the more you can kind of create that vibe of like, you're willing to listen, you're willing to like let other people share, you're willing to do all that, the faster I think your group will grow. But ultimately, after you're done with that, like you really have to get into a schedule of like maybe checking it once or twice a day, because it can be freaking overwhelming. Because like right now, I've got notifications set up to where every time a post happens and like six or seven different PT groups go like say anything, I'm immediately notified. So that way, if it's like something that I know about, then I'm gonna answer it. So I did that for like a year and a half. And I've just answered questions for like a year and a half in different groups. And it's freaking overwhelming. You're constantly checking your phone and it's just not sustainable. So I've like slowly been like, depending on the group, turning off notifications and like just saying like, okay, I'm going to try to check it at this time. Cause it does end up just like consuming you.
All right. One last question. This is for the professionals out there. How far away are we from, you know, you have a Facebook group and you're actually just creating yourself into a holograph and then we can just go meet up like almost in person in a group to where I'm in India and you're in Canada and we're just actually like face-to-face conversation with a group?
I think they have that. It's called Zoom.
But I'm talking like Star Wars holograph.
No, I have no clue, man. That would be pretty dope, but I have no clue.
Like, but we can meet in VR at some point, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure. But yeah, man, the technology with all this stuff is pretty crazy. Because I mean, like, even just like Google, like they've used the technology for you know all those the computers that beat the chess players and the computers that have beat the it's like something Go. It's like a little game with a little black and white beads or whatever. Like they literally like
Pokemon Go
for that. Yeah, definitely Pokemon Go. So yeah, they've paid for all that. So all their artificial intelligence is just like getting ridiculous. So like, yeah, it's not to the point where you can just like set it and forget it. But like, it wouldn't surprise me within 5 years that like in Google Ads you could set it as automatic and it would automatically just like start bringing in people for you. Like it really would not surprise me at all. Like that may put me out of a job. That's cool. Like it's pretty awesome that's where we're headed. I mean, cause even Facebook within the last like 2 years since I've been like in there has gone from like, you have to have all these crazy, like, oh, you need to make sure, you know, like this person's interested in ACLs. This person is interested in soccer. This person's interested in here. And that's how you target, to where like now you can just be like, target them within 10 to 15 miles from my clinic. And it's going to pick out the people that are going to actually take action. So like, it's ridiculous how much these know about us, which is, I mean, scary in itself. But I guess it just makes people harder, makes it harder for people to run a cult because they know everything.
Mm.
I love that the one time I do a podcast, it's going to be the one that has like a super large cult background and like influence to it.
Yeah.
It's such a good thing to be associated with.
Yeah. Well, you live in fucking Waco, dude. So get used to it. Oh shit. So I have a question and then I'll shut up again. So we have a listener who's starting from scratch. Say they're starting from scratch. They're trying to get their digital footprint out of there. Say they have they're a PT student. They want to start start some online branding so they can do some telehealth, maybe some like online programming in the future. How are they going to start building up their brand from day one? What do you recommend them to get started with?
So is this brand, you're saying it's only going to be digital, or are they going to have like actual in-person PT too?
Say they, since they're students, say they're only doing digital right now.
Digital right now, it would be Facebook and Instagram ads is where I would focus, along with the Facebook group. It really just depends on what demographic they're focusing on. If they're a younger crowd, especially like CrossFit, like people, then Instagram and potentially a Facebook group would be good. If they're older than that, Facebook group and Facebook ads more so, because essentially the younger audiences are going to be on Instagram. I would say 30 plus is where you start getting into more Facebook. You can still get some success on Instagram, but I found more success with Facebook once they're about 30, 35 plus. So with that, I would, like I said, I would start the group, and from there I would start making content and inviting people that you already know, at least within that group that you're wanting, and then kind of see what resonates with people. And just by looking at how many comments, how many likes, views, stuff like that on the content that you do have. And then from there, you could essentially, for very cheap, I'm not always a big fan of the whole dollar a day thing, where people spend like $1 a day on Facebook ads. But if you're first starting, just find some good content and put out a dollar a day Facebook ad, just so you have some type of growth coming to your group. Because it's going to be really hard to get that thing going initially, unless you just start going to like every like CrossFit group, and then like you start inviting every single person that's in those groups, which, I mean, I'm not against that, because to be honest, that's how I've grown some of my Facebook group. Is you see who are in the other PT groups, you friend request them, you talk to them, and then you send them an invite. And realistically, you don't have to feel bad about that, because as long as you're going to be providing good value on the back end, like, I'm willing to be a little bit more pushy on the front end to get that growth. Because once you get to around that 500 mark on members, Facebook is going to naturally make you show up on searches a lot more, as long as you title your Facebook group something related to something under search. So if you put it like something like, if you said that this is like Joey's Facebook group, and then expect people to know it's an ACL group, like, they're not going to find you. But if you say like ACL support group and even put like 2020 on it, people are going to start searching that, and they're going to see the 2020 and be like, oh, that's a recent one. So it's not like an old one that's done. So changing that will help a lot, because it's just like any other search engine. It's even closer to like the old school ones, where you're going to find exactly what you search in, where now there's a lot of things you can do to manipulate to get it to where you do end up being number one on like other search engines. But yeah, so I guess to kind of wrap it up, it would just Facebook group. I would start to do some manual outreach on Instagram to CrossFit gyms, to CrossFit groups within Facebook, and then run some type of ad to actually bring them in. So you could either do some type of video content to bring them in, some type of lead magnet. So lead magnet is just something, essentially it's what bait, for lack of better terms. So something that you provide value with, and then on the back end, you ask them to
go to a Facebook group. So that could be just a quick little three-part video on how to do something or exercises that are commonly used with ACL, what to expect after ACL surgery, something like that, or a little ebook or something like that. And then make sure you're pushing that group after. But really, for Facebook group growth, I've had the best results with just running an ad straight to say, join my Facebook group. Like, tell them these are the struggles you're going through. These are the things that are expected. That's why we decided to start this group. If you want to be a part of the group, then just click the link below. Like, you've got to tell them exactly what to do, but you got to make sure you hit on some of the main emotions of what they're going through. So if it's worried that you're not going to be able to get back to soccer playing at full capacity, worried about not having that that scholarship because you just don't think you're going to be able to get back to it. And I guarantee you there's going to be someone who's in the pain science side who's going to say, well, that's fear mongering. That's understanding your patient and where they're coming from. So then you can then help them later. I think there's a big difference there. Because there are some people that are super anti-marketing because they say it's fear-mongering. But I think the faster you can build that emotional connection, not only does it help your marketing, but it's going to help your outcomes too. It's easy for me to say that because I'm in PT school. So for all I know, I could be fucking everybody up. I don't know. But I think that's the best thing is just running an ad. It doesn't have to be crazy amounts of money spent towards it. At least initially, of course, like long-term, the more you can spend on it and the more you can spend to acquire someone, more likely you're going to get more people in there. But that's what I'd be doing. Just some of the grassroots stuff, complete like outreach to people and have an ad on the back end.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing that. And such a great point that you just brought, you just finished with I don't want to say marketing with integrity because that's implying something, but we've definitely seen the backlash that some people have with like buzzwords and certain headlines on certain videos where, you know, people that are very much trying to be super sensitive to words that harm are going to take a lot of offense at some of these headlines. And it's a very fine line with what some people are acceptable with choosing words with marketing. But I think that's a great point of what you said of like, hey, it's meeting somebody where they're at and it's targeting somebody with their own feelings, not necessarily trying to, you know, do something that's not kosher. And then again, they're going to like, people are hearing the harmful shit regardless.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's not like, I don't know. It's not like they're in a perfect bubble.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people, like, they have the issue of like, they have issue with a lot of the marketing, and they'll say like, oh, you don't need to be telling them this, or like, but realistically, like, if someone wants something, like, I'm a firm believer in the sell them what they want and give them what they need, because most people, they're not emotional enough to actually like take action on the stuff they need. Like, everyone knows that they probably need to lose a little bit of weight. They need to like exercise. They need to do that, but they don't want to. So they're going to stay doing what they want to do. But if they want to start dieting and not have to exclude these certain diets, like, you don't have to go freaking gluten-free to lose weight, and you start telling them all the stuff that they want, like, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do this, then you can kind of start to educate them on the back end. So I think it's super important to realize that everyone is a person and they all act emotionally no matter what they're going through or whatever it is. And you can use that to your advantage. And I'm not saying do it like, because there are people, like you said, there's people doing it in a sketchy, like, crappy way. But use it to essentially build trust the way you can actually help them in the long run.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. All right, y'all. What are y'all thinking? What y'all got back there in Nashville and in Temple?
I'm just kind of wanting to confirm this kind of a serious. Sarah, can you believe it? Serious question. You know, is you already hit on it, but I just want to confirm for the people listening, the things that seem to be trending upward are TikTok, Vine, Facebook Vine. And Instagram. Yeah, right. Facebook and Instagram are your big heavy hitters, at least in the PT world. People shouldn't spend and I know it's not always like a perfect thing, but YouTube doesn't seem to be as big of a catch. Is Facebook, I'm always interested in this. Anytime we're talking to our marketing people and we talk about these groups and everything, I've brought it up a few times in our podcast. I'm really interested in social media. Is social media trending downward? Are more people getting off of social media? Is that a thing that, you know, when it comes to like mental health and getting off of your phone and whatnot, or is that stuff on the uptick? What's happening there?
From what I've seen, it doesn't look like it's trending down at all. If anything, you just have more platforms out there now. So everybody's kind of pushing to try to take hold of the market. So you do have like Snapchat, you've got TikTok, you've got Facebook, you've got Instagram, you've got YouTube. So there's just so many more now that it may seem like someone may be on Facebook less or maybe on Instagram less than they were. But if you take a look around, anytime you're at a restaurant, someone's on their phone and they're probably on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or something. So I don't think it's trending down at all. And just to kind of hit on that note of you saying like Facebook and Instagram seem to be the main focuses on PTs and YouTube is not. I think realistically it's because most people don't know how to utilize YouTube. Facebook and Instagram are huge. Facebook is one where, like, unless you're running a Facebook group or a Facebook ad, I would not touch Facebook. So like as far as your actual business page, maybe put something on there like once a month just so it doesn't look like it's a dead business. But they've completely ruined that to where only about 2% of the people who like your business profile actually see your posts. So you're just wasting your time on that. So definitely don't worry about putting too much attention there. If you want to be putting out Facebook content, like I would say for someone to just make a video and put $1 a day behind it just so you're just like constantly present and on the mind of someone. If you're going to use Facebook and then Instagram, that still has some organic reach with it. So that would be more so where I would be putting some content. But realistically, if you want to be building assets that will actually last you for a long time, I think YouTube is where some people need to start putting more of their focus. Because what happens is you post all this stuff on Instagram, and it's very rare that 2 years later, someone new actually comes up on one of those old posts. So all of that post is good for a week, maybe a month, maybe a year, like if it's awesome content, but it's probably never going to resurface again. Where if you were to film that same exact content, put it on YouTube, and do some of the search engine optimization stuff for that, so where it ranks. And I'm not saying rank nationally, because if you're like a brick and mortar clinic, like you don't care if your YouTube video ranks nationally, you want it to just pop up locally. But there's things that you can do to actually make it more likely that it'll pop up when someone searches physical therapy Waco. Not only do you pop up in the maps, not only does your website pop up, but so does a video that's actually titled Physical Therapy Waco. So that pops up and continue to make people see your stuff and actually get leads from it. So realistically, if I was starting out as a new clinic, old clinic, it doesn't matter. I would film something. I would put it first on YouTube because YouTube actually has the algorithm to be able to figure out if it's original content. So if you post it there first, then repurpose it and chop it into different stuff for Instagram and then put it on your Facebook, then you've got content for everything and Google thinks it was an original piece just for them and they're not going to penalize it because they will penalize it if it's an Instagram video and then immediately you put it on YouTube. It needs to be in that order because if it's not in that order, they see it as not original content because their algorithm based on what what we know, because anybody who says they know 100% of Google's algorithm is blowing smoke up your ass, because Google doesn't even know their algorithm half the time. Most of their employees don't. You need to have content that is at least 51% different than what else is on the internet. So if it's already been on the internet, yeah, it may have been produced by you, but it needs to be different. So if you put it on YouTube first, then you're not going to have that issue. Because I see a lot of people do that. They'll put it on Instagram and then they try to put it on YouTube. And then they also don't do the stuff that you need to help it rank. And then their YouTube account has 20 subscribers, which is like just their family members. And then they've got like 20 views on something, and then like wonder why YouTube doesn't work. YouTube works really, really well. It's just, you have to have the right systems in place to make it work. And then from there, you can take that video, put it on your website, embed it as a blog article, write a blog on it. So then it's going to potentially rank even more, because anytime someone goes to that blog, they're going to probably watch that video. So they all work together. You just kind of have to know the systems to do it. Otherwise, you're either one, wasting your time, or two, just you could be making a lot more gains out of potential content and time that you took to actually film it. Is that your question?
Mic drop.
And what are some of those things that you can do on YouTube to help optimize and get your videos to rank?
So YouTube, you're going to want to make sure you can look up, it's on Google Keyword Planner. You can kind of see what are the most common keywords search within a certain thing. So you could look up back pain and it would tell you some of the common things. And so you want to have that in the video. You want to have the city that you are actually practicing in the video. Your description needs to have those things in there as well. It needs to link to your website. You have tags on there as well that need to have those in there as well. And then from there, there's some stuff you can do on the back end. It's probably a lot more than what we can really get into on a podcast, but essentially you can build links and like many websites and many blog sites that actually point to some of these YouTube videos. So then it not only do you get some of the traffic from those to the YouTube video, but it shows YouTube that it's something that's very important. So it'll kind of boost that up. Embedding it onto your website actually helps. There's actually one of the biggest things you can do. So this is one thing that's kind of gray area. I mean, it may not even be like okay, but if you're just starting out, this is what I do, because if you happen, which I've yet to have anybody get banned, but you can actually go on Fiverr and you can go in and you can have someone, you can essentially purchase a certain amount of shares on social media. You can purchase a certain amount of views with a certain link.
Wow.
And you can purchase a certain amount of comments. And I know a lot of people are thinking, that's sketchy. Like, why would you do that? But so much of the algorithm of YouTube is how fast initially on you posting that, how fast people are starting to watch it. So if you start sending these signals, okay, holy crap, these people are watching it, they're commenting on it, they're liking it, they're doing all this stuff, they're sharing it across social media, which you have to do it in a specific order, otherwise it looks really fishy. Like, if you have zero subscribers, and then all of a sudden you have 1,000 views of like 75% of your video, but it hasn't even been shared anywhere, they're going to be like, yep, we're going to ban you. But so you have to have a certain order of that, otherwise they can ban you. But if you do it in the right way, YouTube, because all your top influencers on YouTube are doing this, like everybody. So if you were getting banned for this, it would happen a long time ago to these multimillionaire people. Like,
wow.
I know Gary Vee does this. There's a guy named Spencer McCam who does this, who's the top ClickFunnels affiliate. I mean, he literally like teaches this in his course. This stuff is, it's very good, because usually you're if you're a local physical therapists, you're not going to get enough traction on these YouTube videos to build this up. You can, but it just sometimes it's very hit or miss, which it's still hit or miss with these tactics. So you still have to try some out. It doesn't work every single time, but if you're willing to spend 30, 40 bucks to get these views, comments, and all that on one that says physical therapy Waco, well, then if that one ranks, then that means every single time someone searches that, your big ass video is going to take up most of the mobile screen and a good chunk of the desktop screen, pushing anybody out that your competition is. So if they can't even see them, why would they even want to click on them? So that is super important. I think I don't really know anybody who's doing all of the stuff that I'm talking about, because there's more than that. Like I said, I can't go into the whole scope of it within an audio call. So there's a ton you can do, and there's people that they do some of this, like the tagging and embedding and some of that, and some of those are still getting ranked. So you don't even necessarily have to pay, but if you want just a little bit of extra security, or potentially to have to spend a little less time trying to figure out which ones are ranked, which ones won't, doing some of those tactics are definitely going to help, and it's definitely going to make a big difference. I've got a PT who, he's trying to rank locally on some of these, which he ranks locally, but he's actually getting calls from out of state saying like, hey, I saw your YouTube video, and it's just like a random video on like, what do you do if you still have back pain after surgery? Mm-hmm. So like stuff like that. Like, so people are calling him and he's having to like try to find like someone to take care of him, because he's getting people reaching out from him from like across the freaking nation. So this stuff works, and it can make a big difference. But like I said, I'm a big fan of building assets, not one and done things, where your YouTube stuff, your website, all the SEO you do for that, it's going to be assets that continue to make money. So you may spend some money up front to do it, but they continue to make money, and you don't have to continue to always be putting money into it. So That's my take on YouTube. YouTube's one of the most underrated things that most PTs are not utilizing.
So will the listeners and new members of the group have access to you doing some, is this going to be like one of the walkthrough videos of you saying you can't do it on an audio, but is this going to be like a plan for your group?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing some of it. Some of it will get probably still too technical for your, so you kind of run the balance in some groups or content of, there's some people that would take advantage of it and actually use it, and then there's some people who it would just completely overwhelm and shut them down. So I'm always trying to find that balance, because some of the stuff within SEO can be very techie. And it's not hard once you've done it, but to someone who like barely understands anything on the internet and they're just getting into the game and they're already looking at other stuff, if I come in with some of the stuff, which yes, I am going to be putting some of this stuff in the group completely for free. So like that's one of my goals, is to put out a lot of good free content, to enough free content to where people are like, holy crap, like why is he doing this for free? But I'm always weary of putting out stuff that maybe is too technical or not at the level that some people need to be focusing on at a specific time, because every business is different, and I just don't want people to get overwhelmed and then essentially get paralyzed with thinking they have to know what I was talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yes, we're gonna be having some pretty cool shit like this in my group.
Hell yeah!
Because when I first found out about just being able to do that, I was just like, "What the hell?" Like, I never even thought of something like that. I mean, there's ways to find local influencers in your area on Instagram. You can actually like get someone to do that for you, so then they can start sharing your stuff. Like, there's all kinds of cool little hacks like that you can be doing.
And you can see how some people will be immediately turned off, because there's an ethical thing behind that too, right? Of being like, you're going to just go to Fiverr and get somebody to pay for views, yep, comments, and shares. And Do you have an ethical dilemma about that at all? Or now we're at the point of like, hey, the means outweigh the ends, or the ends outweigh the means, and this is ultimately for the greater good, right?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in, okay, so say I have 5,000 views on a video, like as long as someone's not going around like putting someone else down because like, oh, your YouTube channel sucks, like you only have 20, or trying to brag because they have so many, like realistically the means out, like the fact that you're doing that, all that means is you're getting in front of people, and instead of them having a surgery that they don't need to have, instead of them going to a chiropractor for 5 years and still not getting better. I'm not anti-chiro, even though the tagline of my Facebook group is marketing so easy, even a chiro could do it. I just thought it was funny. And realistically, if someone gets offended by that, I really don't want them in my group. That's kind of polarizing marketing in a nutshell. Just kind of pushing away the people you don't want. But realistically, if it gets more people to see physical therapists and not have to rely on pain medications, not have to rely on surgery, not have to rely on all this, I'm fine paying someone for some views if that's what ultimately ends up happening. So not only are you able to help more patients, but you're able to also make more money. Like you ran a business for a reason. Like people do it to make money. Like, and people who are anti-money, like all money does is allow you to help even more people. So don't be anti-money. Don't be, oh, I'm doing it because I'm a good person. We're all good people. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gone into PT. Like, there's a lot more profitable jobs than PT. So I definitely think the means of doing that are completely fine. Like I said, as long as you're not doing it for something negative, as long as you're not pushing them towards something that they shouldn't do, or essentially telling someone that you're like this badass who has all these views and putting other PTs down because they just don't have it or whatever. But I definitely think it's not really something I even really budge at worrying about.
Cool. Yeah, man.
But yeah, I mean, on that note, there are ways to buy Instagram followers. There's ways to do all that. The only thing I'll say against that, like, unless you're doing it just so you can get the little swipe up function on Instagram or whatever, like, unless you're doing it for that, I'll tell you it's not really worth the money, because all it does is essentially make a bunch of people who don't engage with your Instagram. And it also creates a bunch of people who don't really care about your content. Yeah. I would rather have 100 people on Instagram who follow me, who absolutely want to know everything that I'm putting out, than 10,000 who just don't give a crap. So that's something to focus on is just really getting that small audience that actually cares. But like I said, if you're doing it just so you can have some of the features that you can't get until later, Instagram is not really my big jam. Like I've run Instagram ads, but like, actual organic Instagram is not my main thing. But I mean, when I first started learning about digital marketing, I was like, hey, I'm going to see if I can grow one. And so I did the little BS, like follow someone and then unfollow after they follow me. Like I did that on my little personal account.
The worst.
I know. I did all that little crap, but I did that. And then I've got two freaking corgis and they have their own Instagram and they've got like 15,000 followers, but like that means nothing. Like all it means is I can say, oh yeah, my dogs have 15,000 followers. Like what does that mean? So I was doing it cause I thought it was a cool little like way to see like how I could do it. And since then realizing like probably not the best way to grow an account. Cause like I said, you just have a bunch of trash followers. If you are one of my followers, you're not trash. So yeah, I mean, just building authentic stuff. But like I said, with YouTube, sometimes those things can really help you leverage some of it and grow real people.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Whew. All right, you guys ready to go buy some views off YouTube? That's right. To jump to 5K views.
And I will put this out there. Do not just go to Fiverr without knowing what you're doing. There's a lot of
sketchy.
Well, I just bought some dude off Fiverr.
And there's also other websites too that I'm not going to mention on here. But yeah, there's other websites too. Fiverr is only what I get certain things from, not all of those things from.
Yeah.
Yes, there's companies like that, but there's specific websites that are for some of that. But yeah, don't go just buy it willy nilly and then wonder why your account got shut down.
Yeah. See, that's something you definitely want to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when you buy drugs, you don't just buy drugs from anybody, right?
But buy it from the nice ones, yeah. Nice dealers.
Exactly. All right, man. Is that what else we got from my man Joey out there in Waco?
Not a lot, man. There's nothing in Waco. The only reason we moved here because my wife got a job here. Otherwise, there's no way in hell I'd live in Waco. I don't know how anybody lives out here. There's just nothing.
You keep building it up, dude. It'll grow. It'll keep growing.
I mean, it's growing. It's nonstop construction, no matter what.
All right, y'all. I think we're about to have to bounce in a little bit. Any other questions? Any other thing you need to promote, Joey?
No, right now it's just the Facebook group. If there's anything that I'm coming out with, it'll be in there as well. I do have a YouTube channel that I'll be posting stuff to. 100% fake views, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be it's PT Marketing Secrets. I just started it not too long ago. So I think I have one video on there on copywriting. So essentially how to do good headlines and stuff like that, for blogs and websites and stuff like that. It's just a video that I did inside the Mobile PT League. Cause I, for a little bit there was doing a digital marketing segment within there. I guess I'll go ahead and shout them out. If you're not already in the Mobile PT League and you're thinking about doing any type of concierge physical therapy, I'd check them out as well.
Hell yeah. We'll definitely be checking it out. Really looking forward to the group, man.
I appreciate it, man. It's already been kind of surreal with this many people joining and this much support and everything like that. I mean, I remember listening to the freaking Duck Legs podcast like before I even got into school. So it's pretty crazy to now be on here. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, man. And good luck with school. Just keep hanging in there. It'll get better. Oh,
it's got to.
Dude, Joey, thank you so much, man.
All right, thank you so much.
Be safe out there in Waco.
All right.
You let us know if you need anything.
All right.
See you, man.
All right, later.